Well, to take it down a level from courseware, Dupe mentioned the Wikipedia idea, and as I said, I wasn't here yesterday. Was that something that was presented as a relatively structured?
Basically, I mean, it's. I can talk about a project which the Commonwealth of Learning has. I mean, Wikipedia has got a very definitive focus, which is about developing encyclopedia articles, and the software that's used, the MediaWiki software, and so forth. And there's huge potential with Wikipedia just itself in terms of bringing content in forms that would be suitable for.
But other people have started wikis that are more that are other focused.
Yeah, and one of the projects which the Commonwealth of Learning is supporting is a project called Wiki Educator, which is a wiki that uses the same software as Wikipedia, but it's about the development, collaborative development of free content for educational purposes. And we have a number of projects around that where we have countries from around the Commonwealth that are participating in this content development. One example is the Virtual University for Small States of the Commonwealth, which is a network that has agreed to work collaboratively together to develop content to address needs in the small states of the Commonwealth. We have the Philosopher Education Project, which is really focusing on secondary school teachers about how collaboratively content can be developed for schools. There's a project where four chemistry professors from Nigeria are actually working together on undergraduate chemistry content. And this is quite significant because it's African content being developed by African academics in the hard sciences.
This is actual course content as opposed to information.
Yeah, it's been, but with full recognition to the fact that course content sitting on a wiki is not yet an educational experience.
Right.
I mean, there are a bunch of other things that need to happen there. But there is an area where I suspect that there's mutual benefit for both the developed world as well as the developing world. And that's in the area of capacity building around using Web 2 technologies to achieve these kinds of aims. I mean, this is something which collectively the planet is trying to address. And by working together in an area like this, is very, very exciting, because we can identify what are the technology needs, what are the capacity building needs. It's a problem with which both the developing world and in the industrialized countries are grappling with. So why not tackle this problem together? I mean, because certainly within Africa, there's a very, very clear commitment. The notion of leapfrogging is a very cliched concept. But Africa does not want to use legacy technology. And Africa is tired of advisors coming to advise the continent on using legacy technology. I mean, for example, in many African countries, the number of mobile phone subscriptions had far exceeded fixed landline subscriptions. And I don't know of any place in the West where this exists. So there are a bunch of exciting...
Except maybe in the Pentec campus with the 43 services.
And all of our children now only have cell phones.
Those are the only group.
But I mean, there are opportunities sitting in here. I mean, we've been speculating in education for quite some time around the notions of recontextualization and educational relevance. But we've achieved very little in this area, to be quite frank. So why not have a learn by doing kind of project where we're collectively tackling some bit of content and start figuring out what are the localization issues? What we'd be doing context X, but in partnership, as opposed to here's the solution, adapt it.
I think I'll just piggyback on what you said. I think you mentioned the fact that partnership model is a non-zero sum game. In fact, that is the way we have found it. And again, I keep on giving the example because we have been here for the last 4 years. Just to give one example, the professional masters in sustainable geo-resources management that we're developing, three universities are involved, Ibadan in Nigeria, Cape Town in South Africa, and Legon in Ghana are looking at this. Okay. And of course, this what we are developing here will have relevant experience both here in the US as well as in Africa. So you can imagine, you know, the researchers and all these people sharing ideas and sharing information, which will now form the content itself. So it enriches them in Africa, it enriches them here as well. You can imagine we have a lot of interest from even USAID officials who would like to send people to take this kind of class. If we have the online, that is okay. They can take this course so that they can actually better manage what they're supposed to be managing. So I think it's important for us not to look at it as where we are going to give some to the Africans. Okay. I think we really are changing a whole lot of things. I'll give you a second example. Now, when Dean Barron decided to initiate this program, I'm sure that a lot of people thought it was crazy, because he had to invest money in it, give and take $250,000 a year. Right now, just because of this program, directly attributed to this program, there's more than $7 million worth of research in EMS, just on this program, coming to the university with all the overhead, not going to Africa, but coming to the university. Now, of course, you look at that, that's a lot of return on investment. Now, let's also look at the online delivery that Dupe was talking about here. Let's say we're able to do this. I mean, you see, when you go back to Africa again, I hate to repeat this. It's not that everybody there is so poor. There are people who will pay for these contents. If you deliver it in the right schools. She talked about, there are private schools in which people are paying a whole lot of money that is more higher than this Penn State school fees here to get education. Those kind of people have access, and they have the money to pay for this. So it's not like where everybody there will just get it free of charge and then we go home with it. I think there are ways in which we can cleverly raise the money to do this. I go back to what Wayne said yesterday, that if you develop a proposal, put it on this open access or open something, because it's not about competition, about who gets what. If they don't fund it, as long as we solve the problem, it's very important for us to solve the problem. Now, look at the problem of Mississippi Delta. I mean, Niger Delta happens to be one of the richest ecosystems in the world. Can you imagine all kinds of scientists studying all these things, what it can do to us? I mean, if you want to study about ancestry and how we all came about, according to Darwin, you have to go to Africa. I mean, look, I mean, there are all kinds of things, all kinds of benefits for this. You know, so it's not a zero-sum game per se. That's what we found out anyway. I hate to measure, I tell people, if I asked my dean 3 years ago when I was appointed director, I said, look, because I knew what you said, and I knew that Africa is not a place that is easy to work in. I said, before I accept this position here, how will you measure success of this initiative? Because I'm a professor, that's all I've done for my, I've never done this. He said, as far as I'm concerned, and then I asked the second question, when do you want this success to be?
When do you want to measure it?
But the answer he gave me really was a try. I said, look, when we can begin to see capacity being rebuilt in our partner institution in Nigeria, in South Africa, those were the two, he said, that day, I will believe that we are beginning to make a difference. Secondly, he said, I don't look at this as a 5-year project. In fact, I think before we can begin to see the result, it will be 10 to 20 years. So when he said that to me, then I said, well, maybe it's the right job for me to take it up. If he had told me 2 years, well, I said, forget it, because we can't even build partnership in 2 years. Not in Africa. Maybe you can build it in Europe, but not in Africa. You know, so I think we need to really, leadership is important. If you don't have leadership that buys into this, you're not going to go anywhere. And that is what, I think this open, the free something. See, the freedom there, I like it the way that fellow defined it, because it had these four stages. When you have access to information, not only just to have access to it, but also to have the authority to change the information, to massage it and use it for your own purpose. Now, when we change it, it's also part of that free something. The American can access it, as well as anybody for that matter. I think it enriches all of us, all of us. And I talked yesterday about diplomatic thing. I mean, if Penn State engages in large-scale internationalization, let's say in Africa or some other place, the return is long-term. Just go ask the Europeans, ask the British, for example. Today, they have the most influence. Look, if America wants to really deal with former British colonies in Nigeria, they have to go to Britain. Really, that's just the way it is. They have influence. Most people who are policymakers in Nigeria, they are British trained.
The story is told of General de Gaulle visiting Mao Zedong. They discussed for whatever period of time and argued for a period of time, and Chairman General de Gaulle, kind of name for it. Chairman Mao, what about the French, the effects of the French Revolution? A rhetorical question, if you thought he had kind of solved the dilemma, the argument between them, the French Revolution. Chairman Mao, as opposed to, replied, well, it's too early to say. It's only been 200 years. So it's not only, I'm kind of deflecting a little bit, the other side of that is, we in this country really find it hard to think beyond 4 years at a time. Long-term planning here is 4 years. The Chinese, it's 200 years. Maybe the Europeans are somewhere in between. What I got voiced, I say two things. A, I'm kind of rather excited about this thought that Dupé triggered for me of some kind of relationship between early undergraduate or late high school schooling, and we seem to be talking only about Africa today, and maybe that was on your agenda. I wasn't clear on that when we began, but that's fine. In Africa, West, or wherever. Now, I could easily see where two or three people from here could do the kind of tour that you're talking about, talking to high schools and administrators and so on, and laying the groundwork for the kind of courses that collaboratively could be designed within World Campus and one or more institutions in the partner country. And perhaps foundation funding then, using terminology like blended learning, a year or whatever there prior to being here, or 6 months there and 6 months here and so on. Now, if leading our World Campus effort, if you want to think down that road, it seems to me there's some traction in that idea. The other thought I had is, Michael shared this, his flyer about the alliance, and I'm asking myself, well, why are we having this discussion? I think it's a mistake to try and do too many things. I think you've got to find your comparative advantage as an institution. It seems to me that one of the comparative advantages of Penn State is College of Earth and Mineral Sciences. And when you look at this brochure, this is very extensive anyway, the number of partners and the number of initiatives going on. So it might be a mistake to generate another good idea, because our resources are limited. Maybe it's a 4-year plan to kind of build on this and make a go of this, which may not be inconsistent with that other idea.